Mother Man.
You're listening to Brutal Rewind, brought to you by your friends at Murder Metal Mayhem. We take a topic we've already covered, hogtie it, put a ball gag in its mouth, and throw it headfirst into a wood chipper. What comes out is our new twist on the subject. Brutal Rewind is exclusively brought to you by Shaker's Cigar Bar in Milwaukee, the most haunted bar in the United States. Book a ghost tour at Shakers today at hangmantours.com. And now, here's your Brutal Rewind. All right, here we are, Chris.
Brutal Rewind number 3.
Yeah, doing another one of these, talking about a topic we've already done, but something new, maybe.
New information popped up and yeah. Shit like that. New series that we might have seen or something.
Yeah.
And want to talk about it again.
And yeah, so we do these short and condensed versions of the show. We use these for bonuses for people for a week. Maybe we got a week off the show. Throw in a little Brutal Rewind.
That way y'all still got something to listen to.
That's right. Now, we're doing this one, number 3, on old Henry Lee Lucas, Chris. This is a favorite of ours.
Yeah, he's fucking weird.
We originally featured Henry Lee and Oddest Tool, another fucking special bastard, episode 51.
Yeah.
Our one-year anniversary show we did April 11th, 2019. We wanted to revisit the subject since it's been a year, and we watched that Netflix docuseries, man.
Yeah. I honestly say I didn't get all the way through it. I watched most of it, but I didn't get all the way through it.
It was really good. I watched it a second time because I knew we were going to do this, and I wanted to watch it again. I'm really glad I did because there were some of the details I actually forgot. My problem is I watch these late at night, and sometimes I'll fall asleep and wind up having to watch the damn thing again.
My problem is I watch them late at night, and I'm drunk, and I don't remember shit.
And that's not good either, yeah. So The Confessions Killer is the series we're talking about. And if you haven't watched it, I mean, go check it out. It's really good. It's very eye-opening on how this whole story really came to be. And when we do these, you know, shows, we pick a single topic like this. We're not going through the whole Henry Lee Lucas story, obviously.
We already did that.
Brutal Rewind. Yeah, go listen to episode 51. But what we're doing now is an update to that story and some maybe further insight. And I would have to say, I mean, when I watched that Confessions Killer, yeah. I immediately thought, oh boy, we're going to have to do some Brutal Rewind here. If this might have been what gave me the idea to even do the Brutal Rewind, I think. I don't know for sure, but
what
I remember
the first one we did?
Watching the first one I did was the one I did while you were...
Oh, yeah, while I was in jail.
Yeah. On Carla Faye Tucker,
That's right.
And I had Tex on there with me doing that one. And that was just his insight to the story because he had been on death row as a corrections officer and had some dealings with her. And so we thought it would be cool to bring in Tex to talk about his insight on that. So that's an example. The second one we did was on King Diamond, Merciful Fate.
Yeah.
So we did a metal version of the Brutal Rewind. And this one, we're going back to the true crime part of the show on Henry Lee. And Oddest Tool, like I said, just crazy. So he was part of that Confessions Killer docuseries as well. So they've been about 30 minutes long when we've done these, so we'll see how this one goes. Of course, we know the show is brought to you by our great friends from Milwaukee, Shaker's Cigar Bar.
Go say hi to Bob and all the ladies and waitresses and waiters up there. Get a cigar.
Yeah, and right now at the time that this is coming out, we're dealing with this COVID-19 crap and all the bars are closed, but they are still doing curbside food. Alcohol, cigars, and you could sit out on the deck if you want. You could sit outside. You just can't go inside
the bar, yeah.
So I'll tell you what, if it's nice, man, that's a hell of a nice deal there. You're outside at Shaker's because he's got the decks all redone back.
I saw he was just redoing the decks and everything.
So what a great place. Again, ShakersCigarBar.com. Go up there. Support a great place, especially right now with everything that's going on. And when they do get back, you know, opened up again, you definitely want a Ghost tour or Jeffrey Dahmer Cream City Cannibal tour.
So,
hangmantours.com. Check all that out. Thanks to everyone out there listening. You guys kick total ass. We appreciate it. Go to murdermetalmayhem.com to listen to every show and the bonus content. Or you can go any to any
podcast players.
Yeah, whatever you use.
Spotify, whatever.
Yeah, I like CastBox. Everybody uses their own type. You know, Google Play, Spotify, whatever. And you could support the show at patreon.com/murdermetalmayhem. And, of course, we'll have links to these in the episode description. So, all right, so now it's time to do that little brutal rewind, Chris.
Yep.
Old Henry Lee Lucas, one of those killers we always looked forward to doing. And when we did episode 51, we had our chance. What do you think it is about this guy that just seems to have some sort of fascination between us?
Well, it was like the numbers he claimed and just the fact that he was able to get away with it for so long. And I mean, being a drifter killer, yeah, I see right. it, but still just for so long, how did he get away with it? It's insane to me.
Yeah. And to me, I know I've said this before, but it certainly bears repeating. To me, the ones that freak me out, I think the most are the drifter killers, because I know from watching all those forensic shows that, man, when you take a motive and known people to the victim out of it, it's almost impossible to catch them unless they leave a fingerprint and their prints are in the database or some form of DNA or something like that. Other than that, it's almost impossible to catch them unless you catch them in the act actually doing it.
Right.
So that's fucking scary to me, because you got a guy like Henry Lee Lucas and Otis Toole. They're out there on the road
doing their thing,
doing whatever. Hey, let's stop here. Fuck it. You know, they're at some truck stop.
Lady there.
Yeah, they see this girl walking to her car. They fucking swoop up and fucking grab her. I mean, it's fucked up. And those to me are among the most scary because of the fact that they're so tough to catch.
Right.
And there's probably a lot more of them out there that we don't know about, you know?
Oh, I'm sure there is.
Yeah. So, you know, I've always been fascinated with it. You know, it would be nearly impossible to stop them. And like you just said, you know, how long it took to catch them. And, you know, we've covered other drifter killers like this. Mm-hmm. Earl Leonard Nelson.
We just did Eileen.
Yeah, we just did Eileen Wuornos and Keith Jesperson, Happy Face Killer.
That being a truck driver all over the country. That truck driver,
real scary. You know, has a legit reason
to be on the road,
to be all over the place, you know? So, I don't know. Maybe it also has to do with Henry's trusty sidekick, old Otis
Toole.
Yeah. I always laugh when I listen to a podcast or something, they say Otis. I'm like, no, it's Otis, man. There's two T's, bitch, you know? So, and we had a little fun with Otis. We did the Tool Time with Otis commercial. Big Mike Collier did that shit. That was so funny.
Sitting here looking at the Otis Tool coffin right now on the table. That's
right. Yeah, we got a little Otis Tool memorabilia here. Now, the reason for why we wanted to do this Brutal Rewind was to talk about some new information on Henry Lee Lucas. I know when we did our feature on him last April, we talked about his claims of the total victims that were in the hundreds. But even then, we kind of laughed about it because I know that it seemed like an exaggeration.
It seemed like it's super I mean, I guess it would be possible as long as he was out there, but he would have to kill a lot of people like within close ranges of time.
Yeah. And when they start doing that shit on the map, it gets pretty silly. Yeah. We're going to get into that, but it gets downright ridiculous at some of the claims. Now, we were laughing about it back then. I had read things that gave me the impression that he was certainly exaggerating, but I had no idea to the extent, man,
of his exaggerations.
Yeah, and the complacency of the police in it was really fucked up, and why I really thought that it was worth doing this. Again, that Netflix series, The Confessions Killer, is what we're referring to. Now, I remember reading about how the police officers from all over the country were going down to Texas to see Henry and were all about, you know, hearing him confess to these crimes.
Yeah, like, I did it, so cool, you're solved, but he didn't do it.
Right, and that's the thing is, like, you know, it's one thing to legitimately solve a cold case. That's awesome. But I never realized it was as much bullshit as it was, because what sometimes they would do is they would give them like pictures of these different crime scenes. So, I mean, you give somebody pictures, now they know things about the crime scene.
Oh, yeah, that shoe was sitting here.
Right, like, I hit him with that hammer, you know, and it's like, well, if you didn't show him the hammer, would he have said that, you know?
Probably not.
Right, and then, you know, like, he can sketch out the house, and, like, they had victims' families on there. This one in particular, she was really fucking pissed. That the way he said he got into the house and what he had done was not what was possible in their house. Like, there was like a sliding glass door that was like covered with a dresser, and he went in and out of that door, and she's like, no, we would have seen the dresser moved out of the way.
Right.
So it wouldn't have made sense. It was something to that effect. So I think that, you know, what makes this docuseries that much more fascinating is not only that he exaggerates, because we've talked about other killers that have done that, Pee Wee Gaskins, you know, to make themselves, you know, big badass in prison.
More prolific
than
they actually are, that give, and they can have more time to, like, have other trials going on. If they get sentenced for one, okay, right, now I got to be tried for this one. You can't kill me over this one, shit like that.
Right, or I know where that body is, and if you give me, you know,
cigarettes and a strawberry milkshake.
Yeah, because that's all he was getting was fucking Pall Mall cigarettes and strawberry milkshakes, right, and he was all about it, man. He was telling them whatever they wanted to fucking hear, man.
Loved him some strawberry milkshakes.
He did. Now, what you did watch of that docuseries, I'm sure you get the same impression of this, dude. It was just crazy. You know?
What I did watch, it definitely went on to confirm, like, my doubts of his numbers.
Yeah.
Like, very much.
Yeah, because he was going from, like, 50 to 100, 200, 400.
600. It was like, come on, man. Dude.
That's almost like that Gita Ray story we did where it was hundreds and didn't know. Like, I have no idea, especially back then.
Back then, no records kept, yeah.
Yeah, same thing with Countess Bathory, Elizabeth Bathory. Same thing, you know, these exaggerated numbers that you really don't know how much of it's legend. But in this case, you're talking about something that happened in the 70s and 80s, so we're not talking about 300 years ago.
Yeah, we're not talking about, like, medieval times and shit. Like.
Right. So I'm just amazed that more people didn't get fired up at this time. I mean, it looked like they were a little bit, but, I mean, my God, all the families that were not giving closure, because now the cops stopped looking. Once they think they got a confession, hey, we're done. It's done.
Case is settled.
This is solved. Like, you know, it's off the list, you know.
Meanwhile, the real killers out there
got away
still
with it.
Killing somebody.
It might be, man. I mean, that's what's fucked up. So, you know, the fact that they did this and were part of that charade is fucking crazy. The woman that I was referring to is from Lubbock, Texas, Joyce Lemons. She was fucking pissed that in 1975... that her daughter's killer was free, even though they claimed that it was Henry Lee Lucas. She said it was not. No way, because of the way that he described the murder scene, and the house was just not what was actually there. Now, according to the Confessions Killer docuseries, Lucas started these confessions in 1983, which would have been before the use of DNA testing. And, of course, with DNA, most of the confessions he made would have been easily figured out as bogus.
Yeah.
But, you know, since DNA testing has become common now, at least 20 of the murders have already been solved, that they were total bullshit. He didn't do it. They found who did it. I mean,
because of the DNA, like the freaking Golden State Killer.
Yeah.
Basically, like, that's why they found him.
Right. So they're now solving some of these cases, excuse me, that they thought were Henry Lee Lucas, and found to not be. And that's just 20 of them so far. Of all the murders he admitted to, and while the numbers do vary some, the count has been as high as 500 or 600, which is just crazy. But only three can definitively be pinned on Lucas.
That's a big change in numbers.
Little bit, yeah. His mother, which we know all about, that was like a push and shove, and she fell, and you know, I think that was how it went. It was like kind of accidental,
with
but
the knife and
some
shit.
Question with that one, but whatever. Killed his mother, a former girlfriend,
Becky?
Yeah, Becky killed her, and the older lady, the former landlord. Those were the three that we know that he killed. Other than that, it's completely conjecture, and the way he does what he does in this docuseries, I mean, there's video of him. It's not like somebody interpreting it.
Oh, no. It's him on camera talking. Footage, him fucking camera, like, walking around with the cops in restaurants and shit. Yeah. Like, in the police station and whatnot.
Yeah, they're fucking taking him around like he's a fucking celebrity and shit, yeah. You know? So he's loving it. Taking fucking airplane rides to different parts of the country.
Prison life's great.
Oh, yeah. This is over where I left the body, you know? And now they're all in the fucking, you know, woods somewhere. And he's showing them around, chain smoking like a motherfucker, you know?
Like nonstop. You know,
loving it, man. Now, the series shows a couple of reporters. The one main one, Hugh Ainsworth, he teams up with Jim Henderson, who was part of the Dallas Times-Herald, pointing out the ridiculous claims that Lucas was in all these various places. And when they break it down, it is completely ridiculous. I mean, they map it out on a map of the U.S., and they show you, okay, on this date, you know, I'll give you an example. On this one date in September 1981, he confessed to a Houston murder when he was actually in jail in Maryland. Yeah.
Doesn't work out.
No. 1975, there was a murder in Tyler, Texas, and Henry confessed to that. But on the same day, he's working in a Pennsylvania mushroom farm, and they've got, like, payroll records and time clocks and shit. They could tell that he was legitimately there, you know?
I mean, there was a whole thing about saying maybe somebody was clocking him in or out, but I don't believe that. He was probably there for real, and he just made up.
Well, some of them were. He was in jail because he was in jail.
I'm talking about the work one, though.
But the work ones.
It's possible, but I doubt it.
Right.
I'm sure he was working and not up there killing somebody. He just wanted to take the credit for it.
Right, right. And so it was really crazy. And there's also, they're showing on the map on the series where, like, they're pointing to the map and they show, like, he's up in the Seattle area. And then the next day he's down in, like, Baton Rouge. And then he's up in, you know, Illinois, and then he's down in Florida, and he's back in Seattle. Then he's in L.A. I mean, there's
pretty
no
much
way.
Impossible.
He would have had to have been literally driving the entire time and left the car fucking idle while he killed him.
Right.
Jumped back in and took off again.
Take off again.
I mean, it's
frequent flyer miles, man.
Absurd. There's no way, especially in these pieces of shit he was driving.
Yeah.
There's no way, you know. There's just no way. The sheriff of Williamson County down there in Texas is Jim Boutwell. He's the main guy. He's a former Texas Ranger, very popular, kind of the, you know, the classic, you know, Texas Ranger,
cowboy,
you know,
yeah.
Hard ass, right. The hat. He's got the double belt with the two
with
holsters.
The two fucking
I mean, he's all about
and
it.
Shit. Hell yeah.
All about it. He was the main one that was behind all these confessions. There were a few cases that he cleared of his own because he's was a sheriff, former Texas Ranger, and he cleared the famous one, the Orange Sox murder. That's the one that he was actually condemned to death over that Bush wound up giving him, George W. Bush wound up pardoning him because he thought that it looked like it was all bullshit because he's... You know, after his initial confession, these people go back and look at the payroll records. He was a roofer in Florida, and the foreman's like, he was there. I got record he was there, and I was there on site.
I witnessed him there. Like,
he was there.
Working at work. He wasn't down there.
No. So it was total bullshit. And then when Henry, you know, gets to finally coming around and realizing... Okay, all these things were nice for cigarettes and milkshakes, but now, like, dude, you're going to get put to death, you know? So now he starts to kind of come to Jesus, and he's like, okay, wait a second.
Hold on. I got information you might want.
Maybe I didn't do this, you know? And so now he's trying to backpedal. It's just very fucked up. And so it's crazy, you know, how the cops were involved in this shit. I mean, there's others. This Jim Boutwell... I mean, you're talking about a proud organization, Chris. Right. I mean, the Texas Rangers.
Oh, that's a huge.
Is a big deal.
Yeah, it is.
You know, it's not like, the baseball team.
No, not the baseball team.
But the Texas Rangers, they're badass. I mean, they're like.
They're basically, you know, military almost.
I mean, they really are top shelf. And so tarnishing that record and that, you know, reputation is really shitty. I'm just amazed. You know, that this went on because Jim Boutwell obviously was feeding them information. They were actually catching them in these mistakes where Boutwell, I can't remember how they did it in the documentary, but they show how the way he was confessing to the crimes, it was one in particular where he told them something that Boutwell told them. So they knew that that's how he was getting the information. Yeah. So, it was definitely shady. That Hugh Ainsworth, the reporter that figured it out, he talks about how his apartment gets broken into. He had a bunch of tapes of him talking to Henry because he was doing a documentary about him. And Boutwell, he believes, orchestrated a break-in because all those tapes ended up missing. So somebody breaks into his apartment and steals these tapes and nothing else. And he
they
didn't
knew what they were going for.
He didn't report it to the cops because he knew that the cops were the ones that fucking stole them. And then the next time he saw Boutwell, he said, "Hey, sorry about that break-in." And he obviously knew about it because he didn't report it to anyone, so he wouldn't have known.
Right.
So obviously he was involved in it. So very fucked up. And then they show a prosecutor that's was trying to actually do something about this. And he tries to look up Henry Lee Lucas in this national database, at that time pretty prehistoric.
Right.
But it was a database nonetheless that they used to use in the 80s. And he was a message pops up on the screen that he did not have access to the record. So somebody
put that
real
high
up
yeah.
to where, because what they didn't want was people to start to realize he was in jail in a lot of these murders.
Crime solved. They didn't want to look like idiots because they didn't like put in actual work. They just took his word for it, basically.
Exactly. And so that's the problem, is that they say that, you know, he can't have access to this database that would have given them that information.
Right.
So he's like, something is fucked up because that's really high up. And that makes it pretty scary because you think, you know, this is definitely not some low-level clerk.
Right.
This is somebody up the food chain.
And why else would you want, like, a well-known serial killer's information so highly secure like that? You're hiding something. You have to.
Right. Well, you'd think you'd want to solve every fucking crime you could possibly tie in. But when you're making them up like they were, now you're starting to get caught, so now they're trying to cover their tracks and not letting these people find out about it. The icing on the cake to me in this series is when they get to Becky, because now, once Henry starts to realize he's in trouble, he pulls this one out of his ass. He finds this chick who's like obsessed with him to say she's Becky.
Is that what it was?
So she goes to the cops and says, "I'm Becky. He didn't really kill me." So he's trying to make it look like, "Hey, I told you I was exaggerating. I wasn't really."
She's still alive.
She's still alive. So what he's doing is he's feeding her all this information about Becky. So when they go to interview her,
she's able to answer the fucking questions.
She can answer all the questions, telling childhood stories back in Florida and all this shit.
Meanwhile, the church commune or whatever it was they were at.
Yeah, yeah. And Otis and all that, because it was Otis's niece, wasn't it? Something
Otis's
like that.
Niece, yeah.
So you got this, you know, pretty fucking sophisticated story where he's feeding her all this info, and she first does this interview with this Hugh Ainsworth. I mean, it's completely fucking legit, you know.
Right, that's actually her. But
so this I think it was the prosecutor, the guy that was trying to get on the database. He went and found her, and he thought she was real. I mean, he thought, "I found Becky. Like, this is like the real deal." And Henry needs to be let out, and all this other stuff. And then it comes out, she wasn't Becky.
Her.
She's got all these letters from Henry where he's feeding her all the info.
Which I think is weird. They don't check that outgoing mail from
the
prison.
That's what Jenny was saying. Don't they read their mail? I'm like, I guess. They were hiding it in the letters well enough where you could do it.
You could do it, I guess, but it's
Yeah. It's really fucked up.
Known that through letters, because I'm pretty sure they read through their fucking mail.
Yeah, I know. So especially a guy like that. So definitely really a crazy story once they realize that's bogus. And then I'm wondering, like, because she even has her husband, who they claim was Becky, her husband is on here, and he's claiming, you know, of how he found her, like, after she got away from Henry.
No,
you know?
Shit, dude.
So he was involved
he's
in it,
playing
too.
Playing along with it.
Yeah.
Goddamn.
I'm just like, what the fuck, you know? So pretty crazy stuff. But he begins to kind of backpedal and starts to recant the confession. So this whole thing, Chris, is just fucking crazy.
Fucking
I mean, how
nuts.
The fuck could this have even happened, man?
I mean, definitely the cops had to be involved with it. Like, just let... Like I said, taking his word for it and not actually putting in some kind of investigation whether he did it or not, that's kind of seems what they did to me.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, okay, we can solve this. We can give these family clarity or whatever, when in reality, you just fucked it up more.
Yeah. Dude, they had some of these people would come in with 3 or 4 cases and would be out of there in 20 minutes.
Right. Like,
I mean,
that's
3 or 4 cold cases solved in 20 minutes. Because he's like, yep, I was there in West Virginia. Yep,
no,
I was there in Toledo.
Stupid.
Oh, yeah, I was there in Peoria.
Right.
And it's like, no, you couldn't have been. Like, there's no fucking way. I mean, they didn't even try to make it legit with, like, a route or...
A timeline or
there's
anything.
There's no way when you start zigzagging all over the country that any of that shit would make any sense, man.
Right.
So
fucking crazy.
So I don't really know, you know, how many this guy killed. I mean, we know there's 3,
definitely,
but beyond that, you know, who knows?
Who knows? That could be it.
That could be
it.
The biggest fucking scam in the true crime world.
Right? That could be it.
Old Henry Lee Lucas killed 3 people and would never have heard of this fucking guy.
Yeah, if it wasn't for him
500 and 600
all this shit. Yeah.
All this crap and all this tall tales, and really all the time it was just a bunch of bullshit.
Yep.
But to know that the cops were in on it,
that's pretty messed up.
Especially a former Texas Ranger. And there was another... A former Texas Ranger that was on there too. So it was not just that Boutwell, it was
right.
Other ones too. So anyway, yeah, we thought you guys would like this. We hope you enjoyed it. Check out The Confessions Killer on Netflix if this interests you. Be sure to support, we mentioned them before, Shaker Cigar Bar in Milwaukee. Check the episode description for their contact information so you can buy food from their menu, cigars, or alcohol as they're offering curbside, or you can eat on the patio or the deck. I'm actually planning on possibly this summer making a trip to go up there just to go eat on the deck and go up there and hang out with Bob.
Shit, yeah.
Even though the inside's closed, maybe he'd let us in just to poke around because he's redone
a lot of it.
He's redone
his,
a lot of the floors and the arch.
He's doing some work in there and shit. I mean,
he's
not busy fucking, don't got people in there. It's
time to do it. Yeah, Bob's a smart guy. He's got these YouTube videos he's been doing about what he's done inside. Yeah. So go check that out. ShakersCigarBar.com. Listen to all our episodes at MurderMetalMayhem.com, and we'll see you motherfuckers next time.
See you later, y'all.